Some time ago, when Chris approached me about preaching one Sunday, I said to him that my preaching days were really over. I could even say my decades of preaching were over. But then I saw the skill of our pastor, because he offered me for today a subject that I couldn't refuse to speak about, which is the subject of covenant, which has been something that has inspired me way back into the 1970s when I first joined a Baptist church and began to understand something of what this could mean in a Christian community. So we go back to the first century. We go back to the church in Jerusalem. And what do we find? We find, first of all, a church devoting themselves, because the church is the people, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I hear about the apostles' teaching, I tend to go to Paul, because he did so much teaching as an apostle of Jesus. But of course, Paul wasn't around in this first church. At least he wasn't around as a Christian. And so Peter was the leader, really, of this first group of disciples. And Peter probably did quite a lot of the teaching in this early period. And we have something of what Peter taught, because he later wrote letters. And here is something from Peter's first letter, which gives us a feel of what this early teaching was. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Though you have not seen Christ," he says, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." Isn't it significant that by that time, Peter is talking to people who hadn't seen Jesus? Peter had seen him and been with him for 3 years and was part of the early church, but the church was spreading, and so he could say that to the people to whom he was writing. You haven't seen Jesus, but you believe in him, and all these great blessings are yours as you suffer. And that's something we'll come back to. Peter talks about being built into a spiritual house. And so when we think about covenant, we think about God at work, building. Not only the physical building that we enjoy here, but the spiritual house, which is God's people. And we're taken back in thinking about covenant into the Old Testament, and Peter, of course, drew heavily from this. And again, in his letter, he says, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation." And that's very much drawing from Old Testament language. And there was a covenant with Israel as God's people, and there were priests. But in the new covenant, which is such a theme when we come into the New Testament, the new covenant, the people of God are all priests, and they come from all nations. So it's not particular groups or particular ethnic backgrounds, but God's message of covenant love, as was said so eloquently in what Chris quoted from before the communion. This reaches to all people. And Peter also, in his teaching, when we think of the apostles' teaching, returned to Christ's death, which we have remembered this morning. He writes, "By his wounds, by the wounds of Jesus, you have been healed." And the Lord's Supper is that new covenant meal, taking us to the cross, taking us to healing. I've actually seen in communion healing going on, physical healing and emotional healing. So when we think of covenant, and particularly this sense of God at work, we realize that there's we might call it a vertical dimension to this. It is, as Peter again says, the God of all grace who has called us in Christ. And says Peter, after you have suffered a little while, God's grace will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And the song we sang, Hear the Call of the Kingdom, that to me resonates so much with God's work. So it is a learning community. It's a teaching community. People are teaching, but people are learning. They're imbibing the teaching. It's making a difference in their lives. And for us, some of us perhaps have been Christians for a very long time, and we think, is there anything more to learn? Haven't we learned it already? Well, the fact is, there's always more to learn throughout our lives. But sometimes the excitement of the early learning is just wonderful. I remember when Janice and I lived in Prague, and we were in the college, the Baptist College in Prague, someone came to work at the college, a local person from Prague, a Czech. And she had no Christian faith, but we had appointed her to work in the office. And she decided that she would learn about these strange people called Baptists. She had never heard of them before. And so she started to read. She went into history and into the principles of Baptists. And then, to our great surprise, one day she said, I would like to be a follower of Jesus. I want to do that. I want to be baptized. And asking her a little bit about how this came about, she said, one of the things that really impressed me when I read into the history and when I read about the principles was it is about the body of Christ. The members are all important. We talk about membership in Baptist life. That's not membership of a club. That's being part of the body of Christ. And she said there didn't seem to be the hierarchy that she had learned about in other church traditions. She said, everybody seems to be important. And that impressed her. But then she said, where did this come from? And it came from Jesus. And she wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And I had the blessing of baptizing her in a local swimming pool. So there's the early learning, but there's the lifelong learning. And fairly recently, in the last few weeks, I've been delving with Janice into one or two of the unsung heroines of the missionary movement and world mission. And they are women, because it's usually the women who are the unsung heroines rather than the men who are often the sung heroes. But looking at this has really inspired me to think there's always more to discover. Even somebody last week in this research that we discovered, who was the first woman to get a PhD at Edinburgh University Divinity Faculty in Theology, the first woman. How, a Scottish lady, how did I get to this age and I never knew about her? There's something that we need to be excited about, that we're always learning. This was the community that we read about in the book of Acts. The apostles were teaching, and everybody was actually involved in learning or teaching. And then there was the fellowship and the breaking of bread, as we have had this morning. The fellowship, of course, as you know, was the koinonia. It's the community being formed together. And this is what the covenant is about. And this is the horizontal, if you like. It's about our love for each other. More than 400 years ago, a community of Christian believers met in a village in Lincolnshire, and they made a covenant. It was a new thing in their thinking. They were facing persecution and imprisonment and even death because of their wish to be disciples of Jesus and to worship God in the way that they felt he was calling them to. And the members, as we read about this, we read this, they joined themselves by a covenant of the Lord into a church to walk in all his ways made known or to be made known to them. We've already heard these words at the communion. His ways made known or to be made known. That's where the continual journey of learning goes on. There are things that are still to be made known. Whatever it would cost them, the Lord assisting them. And this congregation, because of persecution, moved to Amsterdam. I've been to the place where they met there. And this became what we would call the first church that our Baptist movement has grown out of. This sense of being a covenant community, of being baptized as part of that response to the covenant, and these community members walking together and watching over each other. Now, there are other Christian traditions that have covenant as well. This is not just a Baptist thing. And I was very interested fairly recently to be with some Roman Catholic friends in Cambridge, and they said that in some of the new thinking in the Catholic Church that Pope Francis is bringing in, walking together was the theme. This was the wording that they were beginning to use to get away from some of the ideas of hierarchy, but we're all walking together. So I felt, as you can imagine, that I needed to explain that this walking together had actually been something that was talked about by Baptists 400 years ago. They were suitably impressed, I think. But you may know the Methodist covenant as well. And this is a powerful covenant which today Methodists will be saying in Methodist churches. And I'll use some of these words for us to ponder as well. It reads, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things for your pleasure and disposal. I think that's a very moving covenant. There's perhaps a difference between that and what we've been talking about up to now. Anybody think what that might be? If you think about what we've been saying about covenant in the communion and in the quotes I've made. You don't want to say anything that might put down our Methodist brothers and sisters, do you? That's what you're really being very sensitive about. Yes, I think Michael.
It sounds very individual.
Aha! Michael and I, as always, are on the same page. It does sound quite individual, doesn't it? Whereas what was there from the beginning in the tradition of Baptist life was always a community saying this together as a together community rather than simply as individuals. So the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and I think it's been a wonderful idea of Chris's to begin this year with this theme of covenant, with breaking bread together. And that has been something that has characterized, of course, Baptist life, as with all other Christians. One of those who planted Baptist churches not too far from here in Bedford and around was John Bunyan in the 17th century, famous writer, preacher, and prisoner. And among those new churches that he planted was Gamblingay, which I think some of you have been to. And we actually have the journal of one of the members of the Gamblingay church, Agnes Beaumont. She was in her early 20s. And her father did everything he could to physically prevent her from attending the church services. And this is one of her journal entries. It's wonderful when we have the actual experience of people. And this is from the 1670s. And it's about communion. She says, about a week before the next communion, I set many hours apart for prayer. One prayer was that God would make way for my going and make my father willing, because he was doing everything he could, shut her out of the house, etc. Make my father willing was a prayer. The other thing I was begging the Lord was that he would please give me his presence at his table, which many times before had been a sweet ordinance to my soul, and that I might have a sight of my dying and bleeding Savior that might melt my heart and enlarge it with love to him. So it's good for us to think, how much do we want to be together? She says in another place in her diary that it was death for her not to be together with God's people. And for all of us today, that's a challenge, I think. How much does that mean to us? And the last point is that we see the community not only as a place of teaching and learning, not only as a place of fellowship and breaking of bread and Holy Communion, but a place of prayer and of praise and of power. And they all belong together. The believers devoted themselves to prayer. There was praise and worship, and prayer opened the floodgates of divine power in the early church. And worship, we read, was a time of spiritual awe. I love that piece in the song, The Table of the Lord, where we read about being in awe of God's presence. And we may not experience this every time, but I've experienced it in worship. And in the lockdowns, I was very grateful for the way we were served online and the preaching and the songs and the prayers. So much was done, but I desperately missed being together. And partly this took me back to John Bunyan. What does it mean to be separated from one another as we've been? They knew about that. Bunyan knew about that. He was in prison for years. And yet they didn't forget each other. And they wanted to be together. And this has to be our prayer for 2022, doesn't it? That we are back together again as God's people. And in this atmosphere of prayer, signs and wonders happened. We read, the very first Baptist church that I was in, Janice and I, after we got married, was a wonderful church for learning and teaching. It was a wonderful church for fellowship. It was really bonded together. But they were very nervous about signs and wonders. One of the fellowship had a dramatic physical healing. She'd actually been told she would never be out of a wheelchair again. She was in her 40s. She'd degenerated to the point where she was in a wheelchair. They took away her driving license. And then through prayer by a very young Christian, she was dramatically healed. But kind of sad to say, the church couldn't celebrate it, or many of them, because they wanted to ignore the wonders, the signs and wonders. But we won't ignore those, will we? We'll look for what God is doing. And we'll look, too, for all the practical needs that there are to be met, as there were in Acts chapter 6, where people were appointed to look after the needs of those who were in particular need. And I know this is done in our fellowship. The apostles wanted to give themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer, and others were appointed who were full of the Holy Spirit and set apart by the laying on of hands and of prayer. Wherever you go, there's prayer. If it's leaders, there's prayer. If it's caring for the needs practically, there's prayer. And through this, people were added to the church. And that's what we pray for all the time, don't we? That God's kingdom would come more and more. And so we pray that God's blessing will be on our service as we go from here, and that we would know that the covenant that we have made and we continue to make on earth will be ratified in heaven. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.